Thanks. Thank you all very much. You know, Mary Lee Orsini came up to remind me that she was the president of this organization when I made my last State of the City. I'm afraid this is going to be the last, though. You know, I was thinking, as we were floating around earlier today, you know, we first went out to the Crown Plaza to see if anybody was there to give this speech to. Then we went over to the Galt House West, over to the Daisy Room to check out that venue to see whether that was had more the most Rotarians. We finally got here, we saw the most Rotarians, so I'm going to give the speech here, if that's okay with you all. I know it got a little difficult, but thank you all so much for being here, and thanks for being a part of this last opportunity to talk to you a little bit. I really appreciate the warmth and the welcome that you just gave, John. And you know, warmth and comfort have sort of been in short supply lately. And I'm not just talking about the iced and cold that we have gone through over the last several weeks of January, but I'm also talking about what John mentioned, the ice storms, the wind storms, the flooding. You know, we had three FEMA-declared presidential-designated disasters in one 12-month period, which the FEMA folks have told me is the only community in America that has had three presidential-declared FEMA natural disasters ever in a 12-month period. So you put that on top of the blizzard that hit us in terms of the economic challenges of this community and of this great country of ours, and the effect on your businesses, the effect on us as individuals, and certainly the effect on government. And you know, it has been a difficult year. It's a rare family in this hometown of ours that has not been touched by a job loss or a salary cut, a business disappointment, or maybe even retirement or college having to be put on deferment or to defer it. To really, it's touching all of us. It's affecting all of us, and it's been difficult. But we've learned to live with it, and you know, it is now part of the fabric of this great country of ours. Who could have ever imagined that these things were going to happen? But they have, and we have engaged, and we're better for it in the long run, let's hope, and let's hope that sooner or later we come forward to resolve the kinds of issues that are before us in the national and international economic picture. Now today I want to sort of take a moment and step aside, take a break from the 20 years that I've presented before. Usually I come in for those 20 years and I give you a speech focusing on the year in the past, what was the year we just finished, what was it all like, and then talk a little bit about what we're going to do, give you a sneak preview of the upcoming year. Today I'd like to spend most of my time looking ahead, looking out at the horizon, looking at the Louisville that will be the future for ourselves and our kids and our grandkids. Our experience over the past couple of decades has certainly taught me that this is a community that has character, and this is a community that doesn't merely dream things, but it's a community that really goes out and makes those dreams into reality. You know, we just didn't dream about a community that would be united. We had the vision to go out and say yes to merger and consolidate our city and county, and build a streamlined city-county government into a new structure, and then reach out to the region around us and bring them in as a part of the community of Louisville. We just didn't dream for a diverse economy. We had the vision to expand our airport, and those of you that were with us when we went through that, it was difficult. But the vision was there. We didn't just dream it, we did it. We created what ultimately has become one of the largest logistic hubs in the world, right in our community. We invested in healthcare businesses, we invested in technology, in biotech companies, and at the same time we held on to our manufacturing to the extent that now about 12% of our economy are still punching a clock working in manufacturing. We didn't just dream about a vibrant downtown, we had the vision to reclaim our waterfront. A partnership with the private sector putting money in, the state putting money in, the city putting money in. A partnership that ultimately brought us entertainment expansion downtown, brought us a new baseball park downtown, more restaurants, more cultural attractions, and literally, when it's all said and done very shortly, a new arena downtown. We didn't just dream about a safer city. We went out and literally created the vision to invest, as John said, over $70 million to create MetroSafe, which is the communication organization that interconnects all of the first responders, police, fire, and EMS. We had the vision to invest in that program. We had the vision to put more police on the street and decentralize the police department, which, as was said earlier, this year we had a 12% decrease in violent crime thanks to Chief White and the men and women that work in the police department. We had a vision for our first responders with Chief Frederick when we expanded and built two new firehouses, with the EMS folks in putting more ambulances on the street. And ultimately, that vision has made a significant difference in the lives of our citizens. We didn't just dream about a city of parks. We got involved and the vision went forward. The Olmsted Conservancy, working as great stewards of the Olmsted Parks. The Jefferson Forest has expanded now to 6,000 acres that we have for our community to enjoy. And yes, 4,000 additional acres coming online in the Floyd's Fork area in southeast Jefferson County. So we can all be proud of that vision, of those visions, the accomplishments that we've made, the partnerships that we have put together to literally persevere through all of the difficulties that were put out in front of us as we went forward each and every time, the challenges of the economy that were sitting out there that we had to deal with. We've laid the groundwork in Louisville with so many projects, with so many initiatives taking root and ready to flourish, that I really want to stop and think a little bit about, let's look out to the horizon, the next 5 years. You know, what's it going to be like in this community 5 years from now? 2015. Well, I think, you'll be bumping into your friends at the new arena, whether you're there to see the University of Louisville win another game, or whether you're there to see a Bruce Springsteen concert, or Celine Dion, to be able to be in a concert. We'll be there. We'll see each other in 2015. We'll be walking across the Ohio River. We'll have that opportunity. And you say, oh, yeah? Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Go take that big four bridge that you can't get up on, you can't get off of. And we're going to ultimately develop by 2015. You'll be walking across. You'll be riding your bike across. You'll have a perspective on the Ohio River that we've never had. You'll be walking right across it. We'll have the opportunity for those 4,000 acres to come into fruition with new parks being developed out at the I-64 and Snyder. We'll be riding our bikes, Mr. Schumann. We'll have all the folks, Ray. We'll be riding our bikes on that 100-mile loop that we've been talking about building. We got 27 miles done. By 2015, we'll have most of it done by then. The Museum Plaza will be up. It'll be the exclamation point on the waterfront for our skyline, I believe. The zoo's new Glacier Run will be up and will be one of the most exciting new exhibits anywhere in this region, bringing folks in to enjoy and appreciate. We'll have the new Veterans Hospital be here, and the military men and women who have served will have the outstanding quality of service enhanced even more so in a new facility by then. We'll have a synchronization of our traffic lights so that folks in the suburban areas will have ease of access as they speed around for suburban commuters. East Market Street will finally take the name of Market Street as it blossoms into new restaurants and into a farmer's market. More of our kids will stay home or come home after college because the jobs will be here in their hometown, the jobs that work on technology, the research of focusing on how to conduct cellular research, how to come up with new treatments for diseases. Our kids will be the ones doing those kinds of things. And our city, because of the commitment we've made to clean air, to stopping the smoking in this community, our community in 2015 will be a much healthier community as a result of all of that that's gone on with Dr. Troutman and the commitment they've made through the Health and Wellness Department. 2015, major jump in education in this community. You're going to see a lot more kids graduating high school based on the last couple of years, the programs that we've invested in to make sure those kids not only understand the importance of graduating, but go beyond. You'll see the state and federal finance programs available for kids to bring the ones that have difficulty with financing their education closer to where those financial resources are available to give them the chance to go to college. The colleges and universities in this community will help us create a new spirit of education and the importance of education here in Louisville, Kentucky. a love for the world of ideas. I mean, we'll be in 2015, you'll have difficulty deciding one night whether you want to go hear a Nobel Prize winner over at this university who's giving a lecture, or whether you want to hear a Pulitzer Prize book writer that's giving a lecture at another facility. And we obviously have to hope that on that same night, U of L's not playing U of K. But you'd go Nobel or the opportunity for a Pulitzer Prize. Those are the kinds of things that colleges and universities bring to a community. And don't forget the idea festivals, the film festivals, the play festivals, the museum expansions, the art openings, the St. James Art Festival, the Derby Festival, the International World Festival, and even the Churchill Downs new hullabaloo. All of that gives a buzz to what's going on in this community come 2015. So when you look ahead to 2015, I think it looks pretty good in terms of those broad brush approaches, and I think that we'll be much more regional in our thinking. I think we've come a long way over the last many years once we merged our city and county, and we see ourselves as a community beyond the river, beyond the borders of this county, reaching out to show that the era of us and them is over, and literally creates a chance where we're going to do things together to get things done in the future. So let me give you a bit of the specifics that I see in terms of economic development and business, and that I see in terms of quality of life that I think will be here in 2015. We're certainly going to spend the remaining part of this year making sure that the base is built for the growth in this community of ours to occur. Right now, we have more economic development projects in the pipeline than I have ever seen in my 20 years as mayor. Literally, people waiting to decide to whether to expand their businesses that are already here in the community or relocate into Louisville, waiting on the economy, waiting for the decision to be made to pull that trigger. And it's not just by luck that Ford Motor decides that they're going to roll out the fuel-efficient vehicle in Louisville, Kentucky. And it's not just by luck that General Electric makes a decision to build its green appliances in this community. It's not by luck. It's because we have been working with those organizations for years and years. It's because we've sat down several times with Jeff Immelt and talked about the importance of GE to this community and what we can do to grow. It's because we've been to Dearborn. I think I've personally been there 14 times, meeting with the Ford leadership and taking different governors with me each time to ensure that Ford will grow and expand in this community when, in fact, in other communities, they were closing the Ford facilities. Those relationships, those opportunities to negotiate, those incentives that we've created with the state along with the local community have made a tremendous difference in terms of those kinds of companies. And then we reached out this past year for a local company that was going to leave, work with Kentucky on a trailer, and the next thing you know, they're staying here and expanding right here in this community. So I see those kinds of economic opportunities in the future as a very bright point for us to focus on. Last month, up in Frankfort at the KITFA, which is the Kentucky Development Finance Authority, they had 13 new and existing companies in Jefferson County that wanted to grow and expand, creating 700 new jobs and $30 million in payroll. Now, that's the largest number of businesses ever to go before the Kentucky Development Finance Authority. So as the difficulties that we all are working through today continue to exist, no question about that, there is a bright spot that things are beginning to move. Decisions are beginning to be made, and opportunities for investments and jobs are occurring. In 2015, the medical center will be a buzz. The University of Louisville researchers and physicians will take more ideas from the laboratory to the marketplace. And you'll see that time and time again. You saw this past year where Potentia Pharmaceuticals literally sold out for hundreds of millions of dollars a new treatment that they had developed right here in Louisville for macular degeneration. It happened here in Louisville. It's the scientists here in Louisville. The opportunities now will be to grow that company here in Louisville. Companies will be putting their mark up on buildings all over this community. ZerMed has done it downtown. Norton's Hospital and Jewish Hospital have done it out in the healthcare expansion that's occurring out in the eastern suburbs of our community. 2015, UPS will continue to grow. You know, it seems like yesterday, it was in the 80s, when we made that decision to bring UPS to this community. And they brought a couple of hundred jobs. And what a lot of people don't remember is there was a point in time where they weren't sure whether they were going to grow it or not grow it here. And one of the reasons they stayed in this community was because we, the city, the county, the state, with UPS, something called Metro College. Metropolitan College. giving a child or giving an adult who's working out there at night an opportunity to go to college for free. 6 out of 10 of the people working tonight out at the airport are enrolled in college courses for free. So UPS not only has been a draw to bring in 100 they're not only a great economic engine, which brought 100 businesses with them and created over 9,000 jobs to join with their logistic hub in this community. They're not only the largest employer in this community and continue to grow, but they have played this major catalyst to get so many of the young people and others around this Commonwealth to come to Louisville to work out there, to be paid, to get health care, to get benefits, and to get a free 4-year if they want, or 2-year if they desire, college education. Free. And we'll also be thinking about regionalism. You know, there was a day where we wanted every new job in our 386 square miles called Louisville. That's where we wanted the job to locate. That's the only thing we were interested in. That's the only focus we would make. But regionalism has really become where the action is. Most of the jobs are being developed across the country in metropolitan areas. Most of the people live in metropolitan areas. And we have become aware of the importance of understanding how what's happening around us affects us directly. And look at what I'm talking about when you focus on Fort Knox. When you focus on Fort Knox, by 2015, the full feel, the full effect of what's happening out there will occur right here in this community. 5,000 new civilian jobs. It's like a corporate headquarters. 13,000 people will be coming into those jobs, as well as ensuring that the investment occurs in the Army's worldwide human resource command will be located at Fort Knox. 5,000 civilians, 13,000 people. They'll buy homes. They'll join clubs. They'll go to schools. They'll be involved in PTAs. They'll be a part of churches. Those folks are coming into our community. By 2015, you'll understand why Bruce Trauber and many of us in this community on your behalf are working hand in glove with the folks in the surrounding area around Fort Knox to ensure that we're helping everything that can happen to support and assist those folks as they move in, because what happens in this region is felt here. And then finally, by 2015, we will see, good Lord willing, we will see some construction has begun on the bridges in this community. Got to happen. My hope is by the end of this year, by the end of my administration, the Bi-State Authority will have a game plan and a financial plan in place to finance the construction of the two bridges and the reconstructive spaghetti junction. And then ultimately, they'll be in a position by 2015 to let's turn some earth, let's get some things happening. Now, when it comes to quality of life issues, you know, we look forward into 2015. We see the kinds of things that are happening downtown that are impacting everything from our cultural experience, our entertainment experience. Residents throughout the community and throughout the region are engaging more in the activities of downtown as a part of their quality of life, as well as occurring with our tourists and convention business, which is the third most important industry in this community, and it is growing by leaps and bounds. The arena will bring new restaurants. It already is. It's bringing new entertainment venues. It already has. And when your Aunt Sally comes to visit, my friends, you'll have a lot more hotel options for her. You'll also, by 2015, have some retail places downtown where she might be able to buy something that she wants. So the retail will expand by then, as well as additional hotels will be coming online. By 2015, our city of parks will have a dramatic impact on our citizens. Spectacular plan out at Floyd's Fork. I mean, if you're not engaged and understanding, you ought to get on their website. Thanks to David and Dan Jones joining with the public sector in a partnership, we have an opportunity to really dream dreams that we will realize by 2015. Imagine canoeing and horseback riding along that 4,000 acres. Imagine hiking and bird watching, or field sports and picnicking, biking and pedestrians just walking and enjoying 4,000 acres. 4,000 acres, that's 10 Cherokee parks, just to put it in perspective for you. And what that's going to do for that southeastern part of our community in terms of the residential area and neighborhoods, just fabulous. And the parkland that we focus on out there weaves through 20 miles of the stretch of that southeast suburbs, with green space and opportunities for new homes to grow up around or to be developed around the green space. Really, really very exciting. River Road Corridor will be changed by 2015. You'll drive by the old country club and you'll see Champions Park with new dog runs, cross-country courses, cycle cross courses. You'll see ultimately lanes that'll be available for bicyclists and walkers from downtown all the way out to US 42, providing access for those to ride their bikes and walk while all others are driving their cars. And don't forget Southwest Jefferson County and Riverview Park. Right off Dixie Highway on Greenwood, when you go all the way to the end of Greenwood, you hit the river. Just a fabulous destination park will be up and ready to go in 2015. A waterfront like we have downtown, replicated on thousands of acres along the river's edge in the southwestern part of this community, will really be its first destination park. You're going to see dramatic changes in neighborhoods. You already see so many more patio homes and so many more of the townhouses being built these days based on the change of demographics. You're going to see baby strollers and people walking their dogs downtown as the downtown residential market comes back with the change of the economy. But we're going to remain focused on transforming some of the neighborhoods that have had difficulties. The success we've had in Park Duval, we're having as we speak right down east of downtown to be able to provide Liberty Green with not only apartments but also home ownership by 2015. Over in Smoketown and Shepherd Square, we're hopeful that we'll be able to get a similar grant like we got for Park Duval and for Clarksdale, which is now Liberty Green, and we'll be providing opportunities for a mixed income area in the Smoketown community. So those continue to go forward. 2015, we're going to have a new census that'll be out in 2010 and 2011. You'll see the census will be coming your way, and you're going to understand how much more diverse this community is than you probably ever realized. And I would submit to you, and I've said it before, that those communities that embrace those who are coming from around the world to be a part of our fabric, of our hometown, are those communities that are going to be successful in the future. And so the internationals, in my judgment, truly enrich the educational institutions in this community. They enrich the workforce opportunities in this community. They provide cultural experience and opportunities for us all. And most importantly, great food. I mean, great food experience. That's the kind of diversity that I think a lot of people have overlooked, and yet it's happening all around us. In 2015, you're going to see a lot more walkability around this community. Our health and wellness department did a walkability summit, and out of that developed a game plan for new sidewalks. And you'll see some of those sidewalks, about $4 million of them, will be coming out of the ground this spring, thanks to the stimulus money. And it'll provide also opportunities by 2015 for new bike paths, off-road bike paths, for some of us who aren't as comfortable as Mr. Schumann is in terms of riding on the street. And by 2015, instead of thinking about, you know, how do we do public transportation, TARC will be focusing on the federal and state support for public transportation, the importance to expand the express routes throughout the community, the importance of making sure that bus rapid transit comes to this community by 1215. All that will be part and parcel of at least the vision I have for my hometown as I look out onto the horizon. And I believe these things will come to pass. I truly do. I don't think we're overreaching on any of these. I think they'll come to pass because time and time again I've seen when this community sets an agenda and we all work together moving forward on that agenda, we have been successful. We have been able to be successful. We've had a clear vision. We've had a focus of what we need to do. And we've pulled together in partnership to bring about that future. You know, when people ask me, what's the biggest thing that you've realized or the changes that have occurred in the couple of decades I've been mayor, it's very simple for me to answer. Everybody always wants to talk about the airport and the waterfront and the convention center and this and that, things you can touch, the flowers from Brightside. But the reality is it's the spirit of this community. In 1985, when I ran for mayor, this community was really down on itself. This was a community that just didn't feel like we could compete with anybody. This was a community that thought that the city was dirty and dingy and we needed to do something to make it sparkle. This was a community that simply saw the glass half empty. Well, we have competed time and time again on many different playing fields and been successful as a hometown. And because of that, I think that I feel, and I feel it everywhere I go, a spirit of yes, we can in Louisville, Kentucky. A spirit of yes, the glass is half full. And there's nothing we can't accomplish if we put our mind to it. And that is the thing that I see as the major difference from when I was elected in 85 to where we are today in the year 2010. And that's why, as I begin my final year, I have a lot of confidence in my hometown. Confidence that the challenging times that we're going through are ones that we can ultimately bring about stability. It will happen in this community. Confidence that here in Louisville, we will continue to transform our visions into realities. That's what we've always been about. We dream, we vision, and then we go out and make them happen. Citizens of the city of Louisville will this year elect a new mayor. And they will at the same time see an awful lot of new leaders come forward. New leaders in the business community, new leaders in the education community, new leaders in the civic and neighborhood community. People who have other jobs but want to help and want to engage and want to support the efforts of the next administration. But to make it all happen, it seems to me it's going to take us all working together. As the transition occurs to the next administration, we've got to be there to provide the support. We've got to work together. We have to have a clear path. We have to have a commitment of faith to a brighter tomorrow, which we all can assist in bringing to the future of Louisville. These three ingredients for success, teamwork, vision, and commitment, are time-tested. Heck, they're older than Bramer Erler. I mean, they are time-tested. 95 and a half years old, Bramer. You're the man, buddy. You are the man. A great public servant. Over the years, I've seen the change as you have. It's changed lives. It's changed the face of our city, a new city, with what I really see as a new spirit. I thought of that spirit recently when I was driving. Many of you all have seen it probably as I did the other day. I was driving down East Main Street, and there's construction going on at a beautiful old church. And right by the dumpster, I mean, it was there today, was this big sign. And the sign said, "And they said it didn't have a prayer." Well, you know, I mean, the fact is, soon it will become housing. And to tackle a challenge like that in these economic times takes vision, takes courage, takes faith to be able to do that. And that's what those developers are doing. Together, we've tackled a lot of challenges when people said, "You don't have a prayer to bring about a success in that area." And yet, we stood tall and made it happen. Together, we'll tackle those same kinds of challenges in the future. I have faith in my hometown, and you can count on me to be there, right next to you, shoulder to shoulder, as we face the future challenges together, no matter where my daily job commute might be taking me. So I'd submit to you that now it's time that we all go back to work, we begin focusing on what's next, and we begin turning more of those Louisville visions and dreams into reality. Thank you all very much, and thanks for the opportunity to be with you.
The mayor has kindly agreed to take some questions, so if you have a question, if you'll come up to one of the microphones. I know we have one over here. Do we have another one on this side of the room? Yes, right here. One of the microphones, please.
As I look at the picture to my left, and I look at you.
Oh, no, don't go there.
You have weathered very well.
Oh, thank you.
And instead of having my orange juice every morning, I wish we could bottle some of Jerry and use it frequently. You're very, very good.
Thanks, Jim.
I come to you with a little bit of concern because I'm not nearly as optimistic as you are. And I have concerns about the West End and the people that I see down there and their difficulties. I look at the downtown Louisville 4th Street, which when I was growing up was magnificent, and we would all Couldn't wait to get down there on a Saturday. And I know times change. My question to you, Jerry, is we've seen other mayors in other cities like Giuliani and in Chicago, Daley, where they almost had like a machine and they didn't have to have the families intervene with politics and running a city. We've had something like that here in Louisville. And what would be your suggestion to the next mayor so we don't hear people like in Business First, when I think it was Mr. Lukens that said, this is a city that couldn't even figure out where the heck to put a bridge. So
well,
what would be your advice to the
next mayor? I appreciate that. Let me just say about the bridges, if it were up to us and it was a decision that we could have singly made, we would have made it years and years and years ago. But unfortunately, you have to have a lot of folks come to the table, and unfortunately, you have to work with a lot of governors and a lot of state legislators, and it is what it is, and we'll get her done, as somebody once said. In terms of what to look for in the future, I'll tell you, you know, a lot of people ask me, what should we look for in terms of the next mayor? And I think it's very simple. You got to have somebody who truly loves their hometown, and you got to have somebody who's truly passionate about the job, because it is 24/7. And you do have to work with issues of all types every day, 7 days a week. And if you don't have that passion, if you don't love the people that you're working with, then it becomes a chore rather than an opportunity. And there are difficulties, Jimmy, in this community, in all areas, not just in one geographic area, but in all areas. And we are working through them as quickly as we can, developing and supporting job creation, opportunities for better housing, opportunities for economic growth, grocery stores here, development of retail there. It's tough. It's tough, and it's even tougher in this economic crisis that we're all suffering through. So hopefully, we'll all be there to support the next administration, I know I will, and to ensure that the person who ultimately takes my position, I thought you were going, when you were talking about Giuliani, you're looking for somebody to stop the squeegee guys on the streets that were bothering drivers, but I guess that's not a problem in Louisville. But we'll be there to help in every way we can. Yes, sir.
Jerry, as a Democrat, you have done a damn good job.
Oh, well, thank you.
And we thank you for that.
Thank you.
We think you've done a marvelous job. Not perfect, you understand.
Trust me, I understand.
As a Democrat, it's been fabulous. And Madeline, thank you for sharing him with us.
Thank you. You know, it is tough. When I first got elected, you wanted everybody to love you. You wanted 100% of everything to go the way you wanted. And every time you made a decision, you wanted everybody to agree with you. And I quickly found that unfortunately is not the way it works. And you try as best you can to make the calls as a Louisvillian. The gentleman mentioned I'm a Democrat. I am a Democrat. I also was a strong proponent, as many of you all remember, when we were looking at merger, that all of the local officials, the mayor and the city council, metro council, would have run nonpartisan. I am a strong believer there is no Democrat or Republican way to run a city. There's the Louisville way, and it's what's best for Louisville, and focus on Louisville first and foremost. There is no Democrat or Republican way. But as you know, I lost that argument, and so we have Democrats and Republicans, and so it is what it is. Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to ask you to finish metro government. You started metro government. You put everything together except the fire department. I'm very concerned about the volunteer fire department. You've seen what's happening, three of them here recently in the newspaper. Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Lexington all went to metro government. They eliminated all the volunteer fire departments. It's a serious safety issue, as you know.
I know that didn't happen in Cincinnati, but you're right. It's a very difficult issue, and here's what we have to deal with. Just so you know what the facts are, if I could take a magic wand and do what the gentleman just asked, we'd all probably want to go forward in that direction. The statute that gave us the right to merge city and county government specifically said that neither the mayor nor the members of the Metro Council had the authority to merge or to dissolve any of the suburban fire departments. Several of them, so they have to do it on their own. Each one of them has a board, I think 7-member board. And so several of them decided to consolidate. Black Mud went in with Oklahoma, if I remember correctly. There was a couple more that had merged. And all of a sudden, there was a peculiar law in Frankfurt that they began to realize, which said that all the suburban fire departments who might want to merge and create something new would have to go into the state health insurance plan. And many of the fire departments realized that the state health insurance plan required by the state statute was not as good as what they were able to afford. So the merger that took us from 21 to 18, if I'm right, Chief, stopped. They stopped even discussing it or interacting. There was a time when St. Matthews, Harrods Creek, who else was out there looking at it? Linden, there were several of them looking, and it would have taken us from 18 to 15. But because of that situation, so legislature's in session, you'll see some folks that'll be trying to make that change that would ultimately give us an opportunity to based on, and I want to make this clear before anybody runs out and says the mayor's trying to take over the suburban fire departments, it makes an opportunity available to each of the boards to make a decision in terms of the right way to go forward. What concerns me most about the interaction with the fire department, and Chief Fredericks will tell you, we have 18 fire departments, and when there's an EMS run, some of them are first responders for all EMS calls. Some of them are first responders for chest pains only. Some of them, you get my point. So therefore, if you live on this side of the street with this suburban fire department, and you have this problem, a fire department can normally get there in 3 or 4 minutes. Ambulance gets there in 8 or 9 minutes. So if you don't have the fire department in that area where you live responding as a first responder, and they're all trained as EMTs, you might have more difficulty than if you lived on the other side of the street where that suburban fire department started moving forward to be able to provide a first responder to help you through the situation. Now, there's a cost involved. Every time you run those trucks out, it costs you something. And they're talking about trying to be able to give the fire districts more flexibility in their revenue streams. But that's the way it is. I wish I could just tomorrow say, let's do it, but you got to take it through process by process. And there are many people that agree with you and are looking to how to bring that about. You bet. Yes, ma'am.
Thanks for being our mayor, for leading us to the merger. And I also want to recognize what you said about Bramer earlier. I'm thinking you're still younger than he was when he retired
so from I can
his
come back.
Full-time job of being postmaster and then spent another 25 years serving the community of Jefferson County
you
and
bet.
Later department, the Kentucky Department of State.
He's the best.
We were way ahead in the voting machines, by the mechanical voting machines. And he'd already done that in Jefferson County. So we went and got to Frankfort. He puts it in the whole state. What I'm saying here, and you identified, I want you to continue to do. You can't slow up now.
I'm not going anywhere. I promise you. I will stay living in Louisville no matter what happens.
And secondly, I think we need to unofficially grab a lot more of these people in this room who are capable of things like this. We don't all have to be elected. We could work as a group. We can put that push behind it because all that knowledge goes to waste when you retire at 65 years old.
Well, I'm not retiring, although I'm not 65.
God bless you and all you've
done. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, Mac.
Mr. Mayor, looking back over the last 200 years you've been mayor, what is the three greatest accomplishments that you think you've been able to do?
Three greatest guns. You know, I think people will look back on the airport, which was a brutal period in public life, in that every night I was going into neighborhoods, talking with people, many of which agreed and many of which were very, very upset about losing their homes and losing their businesses. 4,000 people relocated, 135 businesses relocated, 14 churches relocated. You know, I remember the numbers, and they were real people that I was dealing with, but it ultimately gave us the opportunity to create 28,000 jobs with UPS, and then 9,000 more with the other companies that have come in to be here as a part of UPS. So it has worked out well, and I think people will remember that. I think people will remember the baseball park and the waterfront. It's those kinds of tangible things, but if you ask me what I think I'm most proud of accomplishing, and no one will remember this 20 years from now, 30 years from now, it is that spirit of can-do. This community really has that feel, and I see it everywhere I go, that there's nothing we can't accomplish. Is that a double negative? We can accomplish anything. And as a result, It puts us in the game on any issue around this region and around this country. That's what I'm most proud of. Thank you. Thank you all very much.